Okay, Rabotai. Tonight is Monday night, December the 17th, or Tet Tevet. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Masechah Sukkah, middle of Tav Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, Rabotai. We started the sugya last week, a very bizarre sugya, I must say, about somebody who attempts to use an animal as a wall of a sukkah. We went through the Gemara, but I want to make several observations tonight on the flow of the Gemara. So we'll read again the Gemara. It's about a little more than halfway down on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. There's a star next to the word Asa. Asa lebehema dofan lesukkah. If somebody decided to use an animal as a wall of a sukkah, Rabbi Meir posel, the Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Shehoyu Rabbi Meir omer, kol davar sheyesh bo ruachayim, ein osin oso, lo dofan l'sukkah, v'lo lechi l'mavui. Anything that has life to it, a person or an animal, you cannot use it as a wall of a sukkah, nor is a lechi for a mavui, v'lo pasin lebeiraos, and not for those pasin which we allowed in the midbar, v'lo gole lakever, and not to cover a kever, and mishum Rabbi Yosi Aglili Yomru, af ein kosin alav gitei nashim, cannot write a get on such a thing as well. So the Gemara asked, my time as a Rabbi Meir. So there was a machloikis between Abai and Rabbi Zera. Abai Omar Shema Tomus, Rabbi Zera Omar Shema Tivrach. Abai said, we're afraid the animal's going to die. Rabbi Zera said that the animal might run away. So from Abaye's answer and Rabbi Zeira's answer, you must conclude that the entire issue for which Rabbi Meir denies use of an animal is only based on a derabana, a gzeira. It might die. It might run away. But fundamentally, there seems to be nothing wrong with a dofan made out of an animal. So the Magen Avraham in Shin Samach Beis, Sivkat and Ches, our scribe has to write down the sources, because nobody checks me anyhow, but maybe he does. That's all. I just can make this up as I go along. The Magen Avraham raises the question, why is it that, for example, if somebody wants to make a mechitza of Anfei Ilan, branches, and the Magen Avraham says you can't. Why? Because they move. So why in the world is Rabbi Meir not going to disqualify the wall of a sukkah if you're made out of an animal? An animal also moves. It's also naive, also moves. And a Anfei Ilan, because it moves, it blows around with the wind, it's possible on a d'oraisa level. It's not just a gzeira that's going to blow away. If it fundamentally can't stay where it's designed to stay, it's lacking in the shem mechitza. So ask the Magen Avraham, why would Rabbi Meir only resort to gzeiros, gzeira shema tamus, gzeira shema tivrach, when we could eliminate it based on a more fundamental problem? And he answers the following, very sharp. He says as follows, that in relationship to Anfei Ilan, the reason why we disqualify it as an mechitza, because intrinsically it cannot stand in one place. Because it's subject to the wind, it's going to move back and forth, so therefore the weakness lies in the item itself. That is truly lacking in what constitutes a mechitza. However, an adam, and he gives the example, or a behema, fundamentally are not moving any place. When you stand here, unless it's a hurricane wind, when winds come, you don't get blown away unless it's a hurricane wind. An animal will not be moved as a result of a win. So the problem with it is not intrinsic that it's going to move. The problem is that it's temperamental. You ask it to stand here, and it decides not to move here. Oh, that's the Gemara is going to say in a second. So that takes a, so therefore, the only concern here is some zera, some concern that it might run away or it might die. But fundamentally, this does not constitute a lack of a qualified mechitza, because intrinsically, it is stable enough to stand still, and it, but it has its own little mind. That's the problem. And therein lies the difference between a mechitza, which is flimsy, which we might disqualify based on its own flimsiness, versus an animal or a behemoth, an animal or a person, where the mechitza itself is strong enough not to move, but it moves for extraneous reasons. That is only midrabanan, according to Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Yehuda is not worried about any of these gzeros, and fundamentally he says it happens to be 100% okay. That's point number one. Point number two. The Ritva raises the following question. Who is the author of using that if you use an animal as a wall of the sukkah, is it possible? Who is the author of the fact that it's possible? Rabbi Meir. Ask the Ritva, can you please go back to the Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Beis on the base for a minute? The Mishnah said, Ha'ose Sukaso, the third line of the Mishnah, that if somebody made his sukkah, Barosha Ilan, O Al Gabe Domo, or he made it on a camel. So the Mishnah says it's shera, it's acceptable, but you're not permitted to enter it because there's an Issa Derabbanan of climbing an animal on Yontif. The Gemara is smack in the middle of the page on Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, happened to have said that who is the author who allows you to make a sukkah on a gomel? Happens to be Rabbi Meir. Now I'm just presenting the Ritva's question. You answer it, it's very simple. He himself gives the answer. I was even surprised they even asked the kasha. But he asks, how can our Gemara claim that Rabbi Meir says that you are not permitted to use an animal as a wall of a sukkah? Whereas earlier in the Mishnah said that if you make a sukkah on an animal, it's kasha. Aren't these halachos seemingly in contradiction to one another? So what's the answer, of course? One's the floor and one's the wall. That's what the Ritva says. That the case of ha'ose sukase al-gabe ha-gamal, he is not using the animal as any part of the requirement of a sukkah. And here is where the Ritva teaches us something. We know that halachically, a sukkah must have three walls and schach. If you remember many months ago, we discussed, is there a requirement that a sukkah have a floor? Is there a floor? It might sound like a silly kasha, because how else are you going to sit if you don't have a floor? As we well know, the halacha often entertains silly questions because we're going to try to come up with a principle to see whether or not the principle. So let's imagine I have the capacity to levitate. And I am not going to be sitting on the floor. There is no floor. The floor doesn't belong to me. And I can't sit on it. But I can suspend myself in midair. And I can do that to my table also. Is there a requirement that a sukkah have a floor? The Ritva says absolutely not. There is no such requirement. The only requirements are walls and schach. And that's it. Therefore, when you use the animal of ha'ose sukkase al gabe ha'gomol, there is absolutely no problem with it. Why? Because despite the fact that it moves, I couldn't care less that it moves, because there's no requirement that a sukkah have a floor. Our discussion now is where you're going to use the animal not as part of the floor, but as one of the walls. That raises a totally different issue. If it raises a different issue, that's now the debate between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda.
But
any animal is mobile. His question was, how can the same Rabbi Meir be machshir that and possel this? So he answers, it's two different uses of the animal. He's concerned that it, at least superficially, he felt at first glance that if you can't use an animal as a wall, how could you allow somebody to make a sukkah on top of an animal? Wouldn't that be using the animal pretty much the same way as the wall? And the answer is no, you're not using it as the same way. You're using it as the floor. Floor doesn't have a problem.
So theoretically you can have your sukkah floating this way.
That is correct. If you can have it sitting up, that's correct. In theory, that's correct. If you have walls suspend, that's correct. A floating sukkah. Yeah, and a chanami. Right, no, but there was the issue that there was a different issue. Al Sfin and Garmal, there was another issue. Do we require kviut? That if you believe you require sukkah's keva, that automatically precludes if the sukkah is in motion, moving from place to place. In a swimming pool, it doesn't have to move from place to place. You can tie down the float so it doesn't move any place. And you will just sit in the water. That would be an excellent example of having a sukkah without a floor. Yeah, that's 100%. But that would be no doubt. Yeah. Point number three. We have a machloikis, we just read it, a machloikis Abaye and Rabbi Zeira as to what is the reason for a sukkah, an animal not being used as a wall. Either Shema Tivrach or Shema Tamos. Says the Tzlach in his commentary on Masechet Sukkah, he says as follows. The reason why this becomes a psul is, and here he already might elevate what we just said to a din d'oraisa, and this might be subject to change. I'm going to give you a hint, Rabotai, to identify something that the slots are very sharp. Tell me why, in the previous Gemara, we said that a Rabban Gamliel disqualified a sukkah made on the boat. Why did Rabban Gamliel disqualify a sukkah made on a boat? So what? So in the meantime, that's going forward. But when he sat there, he wasn't used to it. What Rabban Gamliel said was, even though you sat there the first night, since the next morning it blew away, obviously it's not called a sukkah. So what's the halacha involved? Which is a din d'oraisa. What? No, not keva. Correct. You need a sukkah haru'uya l'shiva. Whose opinion was that? That's the name, Rabbi Eliezer. It's Rabbi Eliezer Shita. That on account of the fact that the pasuk says, chaga sukkos tata l'choshivas yamim, you must make a sukkah which is theoretically suitable to be able to stand for 7 days. Therefore, Rabbi Gamliel said, evidence from the kiva, your sukkah, which you made last night, is worthless. Even though you sat in it last night, nothing happened last night. Since it could not withstand the wind at the sea, obviously it is not ru'uya for 7 days. So the Tzlach claims that what I said 10 minutes ago, that we are dealing with the din d'rabbanan, is absolutely wrong. What Abaye and Rabbi Zeira are explaining is why this particular sukkah is not going to qualify for Ruya L'Shiva. Why will an animal, a sukkah whose walls are animals, not qualify, not meet the litmus test that it's ready, that will last for 7 days? Why not? Because an animal might run away. So once the animal is prone to running away, therefore, there is a concern in this thing. Mm-hmm. Namely, even if it doesn't run away. That's the whole difference. That's the whole halakha for Uya L'Shiva. Even if nothing happens to it miraculously. Rabbi Gamliel said that even if Rabbi Gamliel would have disqualified the sukkah on the boat, even if it had not blown away that one night. If miraculously was unusually calm and nothing happened to that particular sukkah, he would still say the sukkah is no good. Because under ordinary circumstances, that's what would have happened. So too claims the Tzlach. Rabbi Zeira and Abaye are simply giving us explanations as to why the sukkah might be pasul mid-da'oraisa, and that later the premise is going to change. I'll show you at what stage in a minute. But right now, the Gemara believes that Rabbi Meir is barring into Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, and that there is a da'oraisa. It's not a Zeira mid-da'oraisa. The Gzeira mid-Rabbanan is simply telling us why it doesn't qualify to be Ru'uya L'Shiva. Because an animal possibly might die. An animal might decide to run away. Yeah, Marcel. Okay. So that's a very important point of the Tzlach. Point number four. Our Gemara here discusses the case where you plan on using the animal throughout the entire yontiv of Sukkot. There is a secondary issue which is discussed in a Tosfos in Eruvin on Daf Mem Dal and Amud Aleph, a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos in the following situation. A guy is planning on putting up a regular wall for his wall. He's planning on putting up a regular wall. However, the delivery man didn't deliver it yet. Temporarily, he's going to use an animal. So, in that case, Rashi says it's pasul. Tosfos says it's kasher. That Rabbi Meir would allow it if it's only l'sha'ah, but not for the entire sukkah. That's a machlokes in Tosfos and Rashi in Eruvin Mem Daled. Rabotai, I want you to take the information that I just shared with you in the name of the Tzlach and tell me how you can use that to justify the machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos and Eruvin.
You don't
need to do this,
sir. Ah, got it. So now tell me who holds what. Tosfos will say that this is not a din d'oraisa. Tosfos will say that this whole sugya is not really a din d'oraisa. It's only a din d'rabbana. Meaning, mid d'oraisa, an animal is 100% kosher as a wall of a sukkah. The gzeira is that what? It might run away, or it might die. Now I can understand Tosfos's opinion. Because if you're only going to use it for one day, to assume that the animal can't stand still for one day, maybe that's not such a gzeira, that's not just a hashash. I'm not worried. What, if the animal's going to die the first day yontiv? I'm not worried about that. Therefore, if you are only planning on using it for one day, and you believe that fundamentally we are dealing only with a gzeira issue, a din d'rabbanan, we can understand that under these circumstances, the rabbanan will not legislate the gzeira. Why will they not legislate the gzeira? Based on the fact that their assessment is that it's a probability game. That in all probability, it's not going to run away. In all probability, it's not going to die within one day. Therefore, the Tzoref Sha'ol will be okay. However, Rashi apparently would buy into the idea that it's a din d'oraisa. That Rabbi Zeira and Abaye, their excuses of Shema Tivrach and Shema Tamus is only an explanation why Rabbi Eliezer will disqualify the sukkah because it's not Ru'uya L'Shiva. If it's a din d'oraisa and it has to be Ru'uya L'Shiva,
Who cares that it's what? That it's only there for one day?
It can't be there for 1 minute. Because anything that you use for the sukkah must have the capacity to last all 7 days. And if this does not have that capacity, therefore it's a disqualification. So ultimately, as to whether our Gemara is dealing with a din d'oraisa or only a din d'rabbanan, might be the machloikis between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi, who allows it l'tzorech sha'ah, will undoubtedly say that it's a din d'oraisa. Tosfos, who does not allow it, Tosfos, who allows it l'tzorech sha'ah, must acknowledge that we're dealing exclusively with the din d'rabbanan, and we are not really touching upon the din d'oraisa whatsoever. Whatsoever. Yeah. Next point. Zayde Behuda raises the following question on the Magen Avraham, based on our Gemara. The Magen Avraham in Siman, Tov, Kuf, Pevav, Seif, Gimel, writes that if I were to take a shofar from an animal that is tamei, that I'm not allowed to eat, you cannot be in the kind of mitzvah tkiya shofar with such a shofar. Cannot be mekayim the mitzvah of tkiya shofar with a shofar that is taken from a tamei animal. Where did he come up with this halacha from? He says we compare shofar to tefillin. By tefillin, there is a pasuk in the Chumash which reads as follows: Leman tiye toiras Hashem b'ficha. That in the parsha of tefillin, the parsha's bow, the Torah uses the expression so that the words of Torah will be in your mouth. So what it really means literally is that it should be on your tongue. That's what it should be, on your tongue. That should be your vernacular. Discussing Kedushin Daira all the time. Like I always say, you're standing online in Glad Express, you touch somebody, hey, you want to hear an interesting halacha? They're just wasting time standing online, right? So, when you stand on security lines for airport checking, there are a vast number of opportunities wasting time that you can just be sharing the Vartari with somebody. The Gemara Darshins, however, min hamutar b'ficha, that in order to write tefillin, you must use the leather of an animal which you're allowed to put into your mouth. Min hamutar b'ficha. But if you write tefillin from the skin of an animal that you are not permitted to put into your mouth, the tefillin apostle. So then no rice. Min hamutar b'ficha. Everything.
From that source.
That is correct. For tefillin, for mezuzah, and for a sefer Torah. So the Magen Avraham comes and says, look, must be the same halakha by all mitzvahs. And he says, a shofar from an animal that is tamei cannot be used. Cannot be used. That's the Magen Avraham says. So the Neid of Yehuda says, let's now read the Gemara, and then you will ask the question. I'm just directing you to the right to the source. Now we read two more lines in the Gemara. So we read Abai and Rabbi Zeira. Says the Gemara, Bepil Kashur Kuliyam Lo Pligi. If you're dealing with a tied up elephant, Rabbi Zeira and Abaye will not quibble and say that it's undoubtedly okay. Why? Di'ina mimayis, even if the animal were to drop dead, if the animal were to die, yesh b'nivalas oyud, it will still be 10 tfachim high to create the minimum height of a mechitza. Ki pligi, and it's tied up, so it can't run away. So neither of them are what? Are the deficiencies. You don't have to worry about Shema Tomus, because the only concern about Shema Tomus was that if it dies, it won't be tall enough. But an elephant, even if it dies, will be 10 tefachim high. And you can't worry about running away, because it's tied up. Ki pligi, when is there a machloikis? Ki pligi, bepil she'eino kashur. If there is an elephant that is not tied up. Memanda amar shema tamus loy chashina. That if the only concern was shema tamus, there's nothing to worry about. Because even if the animal were to die, nonetheless, there is sufficient height in the animal's carcass. However, lemanda amar gzeira shema tivrach, but according to Rabbi Zeira, says that you're going to run away, an elephant that's not tied down can run away. Okay, so what's the question which the Nagel users can ask on the Lag Abra? Pill's not a kosher animal. Pill's not a kosher animal. So if you believe you Magen Avraham, that you have a right to extend the halacha from tziva, from parchment, which Moshe said it's not only it's parchment for the mezuzah, parchment for the tefillin, and you want to extend it to a shofar, then you should extend it to a sukkah as well. That you can only make what? A sukkah out of a kosher animal. A wall of a sukkah. But you can't make a wall of a sukkah out of a pill, and our Gemara discusses a pill. Obviously, you, Magen Avraham, are wrong.
Is the wall of the sukkah the same as the shofar? The wall of the sukkah doesn't go in your house.
What? What's the difference? What's the difference, Rabotai, between this case and the Shofar case? You have to defend the Magen Avraham.
I'm not saying it's sharp. Sukkah is also a Dvar Mitzvah. That's going to be the second or third answer. Hold on a second. That's going to come up with a brand new halacha. Hold on. One second. What's the difference?
You have to have a Shofar animal, a carrot of an animal.
Correct. The first answer is that by the other halachos, we insist that it come from an animal. There is no other skin that is available to write a tzil. It has to be the or of a behemoth.
Fish?
What?
Fish
is no good. It has to be a behemoth.
Fish is for the
right. Okay, but... We lemaaseh. Okay, but even there would be a kosher fish. So it has to be a kosher. Here, the same thing about a shofar. In order to get a shofar, it has to be a keren of what? Of an animal. So whenever you're dealing where the requirement per se relates to an animal or part of an animal for a mitzvah, then you have a right to interpret the halacha min amutav b'ficha. What type of an animal can we demand or do we expect you to use for this particular mitzvah? Only that of a kosher animal, which you're allowed to put in your mouth. There is no such halacha that the wall of a sukkah must be made out of an animal. If there was such a halacha, that the wall of a sukkah must be made out of an animal, then we would say it would be exactly analogous. But here there is no halacha that it must come from an animal. B'mikre, in this particular case, he's using an animal. But it's not a halacha in an animal. Therefore, under those circumstances, the requirement of min hamutar b'ficha does not apply here at all. That's answer number one. Answer number two is Moshe's answer. And this now can open up a whole Pandora's box as to what's dealing here in the sugya. Now expands it further. Namely, that the only time that we're concerned about any of these psulim is in the schach, not in the defiles. Nay, even if you wanted to claim that the last answer is incorrect, that it's not only a halacha where you have to use animal parts in order to be in the time that mitzvah, that we demand that the animal be edible, min amutav b'ficha. No, the premise is wrong. That even if you don't have to use an animal, if you choose to use an animal, it is now considered under the guidelines of min amutav b'ficha. However, all psulim are off in relationship to the finals. Where would we have this halacha if we were to be able to use an animal? On the schach. If you could possibly use an animal as schach, then even though you don't have to use an animal as schach, if I choose to do so, I would now claim that what? That what? That, that I would have the vehicle would apply, precisely. It would apply. However, Rabotai, this particular answer goes to the entire sugya. Goes to the entire sugya. Namely, I might be able to claim that Rabbi Eliezer, who demands sukkah haru'uya l'shiva, maybe he also should be limited to what? Only to the schach. Correct. That every discussion that we have had for the last week and a half, today and all of last week, and 2 weeks ago, namely, that something may not be able to survive the entire sukkah, may not apply to the walls at all. Maybe that's only a halacha in lag, in the schach, but walls can be made out of anything whatsoever. That exists the possibility that if this answer is correct, it may not only be limited to this particular requirement, that it might be to all requirements. There are no psulim for defanos. And in fact, the Lashon HaRambam simply writes, the Rambam writes, Oisin Daifim Mikolma, from with everything. That's what he doesn't say.
How do you read the Gemara then?
Yeah. From all the Rabbanos. Not on the Dindoraisa. What's all the Rabbanos? Yeah. Okay. Mama game right. Mama game right.
Except for the fact that you have to have two walls.
Yes. But what the what it's made out, that's a dindo raisin. You must have two walls and one tefa for the third. But in terms of that's in terms of number.
Right.
But what you make the walls out of, no requirements whatsoever to make it out of your ones. So now the Gemara said that the only debate is a pill, a elephant that is untied. Continues the Gemara. Lamanda Amad Zeru Shema Tamus, Nechus Shema Tivrak. According to Abaye, he said that what? That it might die. Why isn't Abaye concerned about the animal will run away? Answers the Gemara, you're right. Ella. The pill she'eino kashur, an elephant that is not tied, kuli amaloi pligi. Everybody agrees that it's puzzle. Ki pligi the behema kshura. What is the machlokes if it's tied there? Laman damar zera tamos shema tamos chayshina. And we're not dealing with what? An elephant. We're dealing with an ordinary animal. And an ordinary animal, when it dies, what will happen? It will be less than 10 tefachim. Why not? Based on the fact that it's tied down. If it's tied down, there's nothing to worry about. It can't run away. Ask the Gemara, Ulamandamra Xerishema Tivrach, Nechush Shematamus. Let us be afraid that it might die. Answers the Gemara, Lemisa Loi Chashina. Misa Lo Shricha. We're not worried about that, but that an animal is going to die. Here comes along the Taz in Simon Tuf Reish Lamed, Siv Katan Yud Aleph. Taz raises an interesting question. Assuming that we are now talking about a regular animal that is tied up, he finds a Gemara Bava Kama, that says on the days, which seems to contradict this Gemara. Gemara Bava Kama says as follows. The Mishnah in Andat Pesam Beis makes the following statement. Excuse me, the Brisa. Matron lecheresh shaytiv akatan chayiv. That if I, Masha'en kein be'esh, the Gemara in Bava Kama makes a distinction between shor hamazik and esh hamazik. That if I give over my shor to what? To a cheresh shaytiv akatan, and it goes out and damages, under those circumstances, I am chayv. But if I give over an eish
to a cheres shaita v'katan, and then he goes ahead and lights the fire, I am puzzled. So the Gemara asks, what's the difference? First of all, you have to know what the cases are to see what the comparison is. So the Gemara first suggests that we are dealing with a shor that is untied. So the Gemara asks, if I give a shor that is untied, I don't need a braisa to tell me that if I give it over to a cheres shaita of a katan, that I am chayiv. Obviously I'm chayiv. Why am I chayiv? Because of the fact that I'm a shomer, I have to make sure that I can give it up to somebody who's good shmir. But even more so, what would be the parallel to Aish? What would be the Aish case if it was an untied animal? So what would now be the case by an Aish? I gave it over Shalhevet, a flame, which is ready to do damage. Well, if it's ready to do damage, why would I say that it's potter? So Gemara says no. You know what we're talking about? A shor kashur. The animal's tied up. I tied up my animal securely. And nonetheless, if I now tell my 5-year-old kid, please watch that shor for me, I am chayav. What is now the parallel to a eish? I gave him a gehelet. I just gave him a coal, not a flame. So the Gemara says as follows. A gacheles is ma'amyo ne'amyo va'azlo. A gacheles, the longer you hold it, what's going to happen to it? It's going to go out. It has to be fanned. It has to be flamed in order to convert it to light into a fire. I have no chashash that a kid, an ordinary kid, a cheres shaita v'katan, is going to take a coal and now flame it and make it a... That much is considered too much of a gap between what I did and what the kid did. So that's an onus on my part. But if I give a shor which is tied up to a kid, I am chayiv. Why? Shor darko l'turei. Shor darko linture. What does that mean? An ox, its pattern of behavior is that what? That it unties itself. So once it unties itself, you, the shomer, have to expect that. And if you have to expect and anticipate that it's going to untie itself, you can't give it over to a cheres shaita v'katan. That's what the Gemara says in Bava Kamma Daf Tes Amud Beis. Asks, huh?
Didn't do it. I mean, the cases where he didn't do anything, they didn't untie the shor.
Correct. That's going to be a machlokes Rashi. So I don't want to get into that. But Rashi asks, if it's shor darko l'turei, then I didn't give it over to anybody. Then it's my fault that I left it. Tosis, machlokes Rashi and Tosis. Good question. I don't want to get into it now. What's the Taz's kasha? How is the Taz asking Gemara, our Gemara, how is he attacking our Gemara from this Gemara? What? Of course. The Gemara here just said that we are going to be arguing the machloikis between Abaye and Rabbi Zeira is by a behemoth kashur, an animal that is tied down. So Abaye will say that what? In this case, I say it's no good because Shema Tamus. What? And then it will be less than what? 10 tefachim. Rabbi Zeira will say it's okay because after all it's tied up. Asks the Taz, what's going on here? The Gemara says, an animal that is tied up is prone to eventually get loose. So it says, shor darko l'turei. That's the conclusion of Gemara. So even Rabbi Zeira should say that what? That what? That it's possible. Because even though it's tied right now, it's going to what? Untie. And therefore, again, let us operate for the moment that it's still a din d'oraisa. What happens under those circumstances? It's no longer Ruhi Rishiva. It's not going to be seven. Right now it's tied up, but tomorrow who knows what's going to happen. And the Gemara says that such is the pattern.
We don't make a distinction between Behem and Shar.
What?
I don't know.
Maybe a Shar is different. Okay, the Taz could have thought of that answer himself also. He didn't answer that. He comes up with a much bigger chiddush.
Yeah, we're talking either about an elephant or a behemoth.
What?
We're talking about an elephant or a behemoth.
I know, but there they wanted to do the difference not because of the das of the animal. They did it because of the size. That the elephant is so big that even if it dies, it will remain. But in terms of pattern, we know that an animal, an elephant doesn't have too many brains. He's not going any place, right? Right? So the Taz gives another answer, which many disagree with. And the Taz says, based on this, he will disqualify if you make up your walls of your sukkah with, in his words, Yiriot shel pishta. If I made out my wall of flax, pishta. I made a wall of, and I tied it securely. So if the wind's not going to blow it. You talk about our prefab jobs. He says that based on this, I will not allow prefab sukkah. Even though you tie it down. What happens when you tie knots? You're going to get untied. They're going to get loose. Just as the Gemara says that the shor's knots are going to get loose. Says the Taz, Chidush Atzum. Says the this whole Gemara is talking about where you're planning on using animals or yiriot that blow in the wind for all three walls. That's when we're going to disqualify it. But if you only use it for one wall, there's no machloikas. The only discussion is if you plan on using something that is fragile, either the walls will blow away because they'll get loose, or the animal's going to run away, is a discussion of what? All three walls. Even though the Gemara uses the expression, I want to use it as a doifan. It doesn't really mean that you want to use an animal as a doifan, as a wall. It really means you want to use three different animals for three walls. But if it's only one wall, there's no chash. And anybody who has seen that Taz can't understand the difference. What is the difference if there is a concern about three walls versus one wall? And indeed, you look at the Torah cites the Rabbeinu Peret, and he writes, Bepashtus, that this Gemara's discussion is obviously not talking about all three walls, but any single wall. Because all three are indispensable. You cannot have a sukkah with less than three walls. So if one of them are gone, if one of them are not Uyid Lashiva, the whole sukkah is puzzled. So the question of the Taz is a good question. The question is a good question. How does the Gemara propose to claim that a behema which is tied removes the issue of Shema Tivra if the Gemara establishes as a psychological fact that animals that are tied are prone to get loose? Unless you're going to say, maybe it isn't considered shore in other animals. Maybe therein lies the difference.
How does the answer answer that question?
What?
How does, I don't understand the fact between his conclusion.
No, therefore he says that the whole concern is only, if it's only one wall, that's only the Rabbana. That's not a Dindoraisa. There's nothing to worry about. It meets the litmus test if two walls will be made out of something besides an animal. And the whole discussion is only on the third wall.
And that's not the contradiction to the...
Correct. Yeah. And there it's talking about if you take all three walls, then we're worried about the animal running away. But only on one wall, we're not to worry about. It just makes no sense. It makes so little. I can't explain it logically that if there's a concern that an animal's going to run away, what difference does it make whether it's one wall or three walls? I don't understand.
Maybe the nature of an animal is to encourage the other one.
Okay, maybe. Okay, maybe it's all percentages. I'm just telling you that that's his suggestion. It's a good question.
Does it make a distinction
between common and void? No, it doesn't.
Nope.
That's correct. Let me get invited. Ask the Gemara, Vahoika Ravcha Zabani. There is a gap between what? Between the legs, and the gap will be so great that it will disqualify a mechitza, because there has to be a continuum. Answers the Gemara, no problem. Da'avad le behutza v'dafna. What you did was you filled in between the legs with wood and stones to fill in the gap. Ask the Gemara of the Dilma River, perhaps it'll sag a little. If he sags, gets a little tired, he will be below Tetzvachim. Answers the Gemara, the Meticha of the Ashley Mila'el. You tied it up on the top, from the top, to make sure that it doesn't sag. Ask the Gemara, Laman Damrak Zerisham Atamos, Nami Hometicha Ba'ashli Mila'el. Answers the Gemara, Zimnin Demukim B'Pachas Mishlosha, Somach L'Schach, V'Kevon Demaisa, Kavtza V'Lavadate. That if it's going to die and it sags, you're not going to, let's assume the wall ends exactly 3 Tfachim away from the Schach. Exactly 3 Tfachim. So when it dies, so then what happens then? It sags a little, it's still standing up, but it sags sufficiently so that it will now create a gap of larger than 3 Tfachim between what and what? Between the Schach and the wall. Very nice. Rabotai, tell me how this answer addresses whether we are now dealing with Rabbi Eliezer on a Dindo Raita, or is this undoubtedly only Midrabana? What does the Gemara say? Vilav Adate. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi will help you. V'lav adate. Those two words are critical. Had the Gemara not used those two words, I would have continued the pattern that we've been discussing up until now. Namely, since it sags, so what happens? Since an animal might die, even though it's tied to the top, and it sags, so tell me why it's possible. Tell me why it's possible, Rabbi Zion. Because it's not going to last for 7 days. Because you can destroy the kashrus of the sukkah. Why will you destroy the kashrus of the sukkah? Because it's prone to become a gap of greater than 3 tefachim. Okay, that's why it's possible. Because it's not omei l'shiva. That's not what the Gemara answers. What does the Gemara say is the deficiency? You're going to be too lazy. You're not going to notice it. Says to Rashi, V'lava date, eino no sein lev lesakna de eino nikar. You don't notice that what? That it sagged the extra half inch, and that the gap is indeed 3 fucking plus a half inch. You don't notice it, and therefore you won't fix it. So what is happening at this stage? It could very well be that when we've come to this stage, what is the Gemara undoubtedly acknowledging? What are we undoubtedly acknowledging? This is no longer Din D'oraisa. Ultimately, why can you not use an animal for a judgment of a sukkah? The way we've now constructed this limited case. The animal is tied up. It's not running away. The animal is not going to sag because it's tied up from the top, so we can't rest. But when he dies, quite naturally, it's going to sag a little. You're not going to notice it. That's the only reason, that's the only case, where we can now concoct the case where you cannot use a behemoth as what? As a diaper of a sukkah. So this is all of Zerah the Rabba, that we're afraid that you're not going to want to fix it. Not going to want to fix it. Not wanting to fix it is a Din the Rabba. It's laziness. Does anybody, we just finished the end of Hanukkah. Anybody remember a similar argument? Similar argument.
Are you allowed to sit in the first place? Is it
okay? Yeah. No, you should not use it. Yeah, okay, can you fix on Yom Tov itself? Probably not. But Chol Moed, you'd be able to fix what? That's what the Gemara is discussing this whole night. And apparently the Gemara now is canning that. Up until now, that was the hot. We showed before you came to the Machlokes Rashi Taitz. But now the Gemara seems to be canning that above the Kodesh Wavai Rabbi Zera, it's a Din the Rabbanan. Anybody remember about Hanukkah?
Gemara says what? No. Silos ushmanim sha'amru chachamim ein madlikim ben b'shabas. Are you allowed to use them in Chanukah? Three rematlins. Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph on the bottom of a Masechta Shabbos to the top of the page on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. All the oils and wicks which the Chachamim said you are not permitted to use on Friday night. We say that Panem Madlikin, but why Ein Madlikin? Why Ein Madlikin? You know, Ein Madlikin for this, what? Why? Because they don't burn well. And the wicks don't catch. So why can't you use them on Shabbos? We know why you can't use them. Because if they're going to go out, what's going to happen? They're going to have to gonna be tempted to what? Tripsit. He'll be Mechal Shabbos. But why can't you use them on Hanukkah during the week? So there's three opinions. One opinion is you can't use them during the week. You cannot use them during the week or on Shabbos. Why? Because you hold Kavsa Zakur. If you hold that if the candles go out before what? A half hour, you must relight them. And we know that essentially people are what? Lazy. They don't want to go back and do it. You know, you're going to be so busy, and therefore, if you're not going to fix it, the Chachamim say that what, we're not going to allow you to use it in the first place, because we know that you're not going to go ahead and fix it. Same thing over here. In the Iker HaDin, the animal is kosher. Why am I not letting you use it? Because in case it develops a problem, I know you're not going to fix it. That's purely in the Rabbanan. So the entire halacha of what? Of Sukkah Harulu Yeshiva has now been chucked. That Rabbi Zeira and Abaye, who are explaining, Rabbi Meir disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer. This entire sukkah now is boiled down only to what? To within the Rabbanan. Up until now, we extended the possibility there might be a din d'oraisa that Rabbi Meir is buying into Rabbi Eliezer's sheet about sukkah or leadership. Now we see nothing of the sort.
I didn't understand the word Zeira on the page before.
That's the Xera why the Chachamim disqualified. We're afraid that it's going to run away, therefore it's not going to be the ship. That's what it is. It's a... Correct. That's correct.
Just an explanation.
Correct. Correct. Lama gain fighter. Umi Omar Abaye. The Gemara is going to take us on a real wild goose chase now. Umi Omar Rabbi Meir. Chayish Lamisa. Do you mean to tell me Rabbi Meir will say that he is concerned about what? Misa? According to who? Abaye. Abaye said that Rabbi Meir disqualified an animal because of what? Shema Tamos. The Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda who allows you to what? To use an animal, because Rabbi Yehuda said right at the beginning, Oitzin Abahema Daifa Nasukkah. It was Rabbi Meir who said no. Shahaya, Rabbi Meir Aymer. You don't use it for a lechi. You don't use it to, you know. It's all Rabbi Meir. So you mean to tell me Rabbi Meir buys into this concern of Shema Tamos? For Hatanan, we learned in the Mishnah, and Rabbi Yehuda does not. We not learned in the Mishnah the following machloikis. Bat Yisrael Shenisus Lekayin. You have a woman who is a Yisraelite who marries a Kohen. The halacha is that a woman who is married to a Kohen is allowed to eat truma, even though she is not a bat Kohen. Why? She is, I don't want to say it, no women here tonight, so we can say it, kinyan katfayu, because she owns her to some extent. But he owns her to some extent, and therefore, she's allowed to eat during his lifetime. Problem is, this hubby went to Medina Sayyam. And at that time, traveling across the high sea was a danger, and half the people never made it. That's why there's so many sugars about the people going to Medina Sayyam. Half the gittin, that's all they talk about. Oicheles betruma becheskas shuhukai. That there is a chazaka, it's called chazaka de mikara, that until you know for a fact that something has changed, you have a right to assume that the prior condition still exists. That's a chazaka. We operate with that many times in halacha.
To Ramin in Allah, however, we challenge this chazaka from another brisa. Harei zegitech shor achas kodem misasi. Somebody writes a get, and he tells his wife, this will be your get, to go into effect 1 hour before I die. Now, the reason why he wants to do this is he wants to spare his wife Yibum or the possibility of Chalitza. Let's assume they don't have any children. And now, if he were to die, she has to be Omedes Liyibum or to go Chalitza. Like this, he can enable her to marry anybody without going through the Chalitza process simply by becoming divorced an hour before he dies. Because once he dies, it's too late to divorce your wife, because someone who's dead cannot be Megarish. So he extends the Tanai that I will grant you a get on condition that what? It'll take effect, not right now, but 1 hour before I die.
She takes the get
into her hand, of course. So the Gemara says, Asura me'echol betruma miyad. She's not permitted to eat truma immediately. Why? Because maybe he died 5 minutes later. So if he died 5 minutes later, she was divorced an hour ago. So what do you see? You see from such a case, the Amar Abaye loikasha, ha Rabbi Meir the loichayish lamisa, ha Rabbi Yehuda the chayish lamisa. How does Abaye resolve the conflict between the Braisa and the Mishnah? To claim that the Mishnah is authored, who says that the woman is allowed to eat truma when her husband is in Bulgaria, says why? Why is he allowed to eat truma? Because Rabbi Meir is like Hayesh Lamisa. That's why I'm not afraid that the husband's going to die, so let her go ahead and eat truma. The Braisa, which says that if you give a get and say, Hareyat, here is my get, and it should take effect 1 hour before I die, and says she's not allowed to eat truma immediately, is Rabbi Huda's opinion, who says, I am Chayesh Lamisa. Asks the Gemara, now getting back to our case. If in that case, Abaye is the one who resolves the conflict between Rabbi Meir and between the Brice and the Mishnah, by claiming that it is Rabbi Meir who says, Lo Chayesh Lamisa, that Rabbi Meir is the one who says, I'm not afraid that people are going to die, then how can our Gemara, Abaye of all people, say that what is the reason why you're now allowed to use an animal as the wall of a sukkah? Why you're now allowed to Shema Tammuz? Rabbi Meir doesn't believe in Shema Tammuz. So what's going on here? Yeah.
It's different. I mean, there is going within a Sayyam, so it's more of a reason to be cultured. But here you just talk about an animal flying.
Why should they think that a person died?
It's a case of the gift, the case of the guy giving an hour before the award.
Right. He didn't necessarily go to Medina Sayyam, that guy in the second case of the Bryson. He just gave a gift and disappeared from him. He went to a ball game.
It's just more of a practical matter. The second case, it's a practical issue. You just don't know when he's going to die.
And the animal, you do know when it's going to die.
No, but the point is, as soon as it dies, from that point on, you start, you do what you need to do. But in this case with the woman, you don't know when the guy's going to die. At some point in time, it's going to be an hour before, and she's going to be eating truma, because she doesn't know.
Same thing goes to
and she's going to be over, and then they're right.
So you're going to say the same thing.
Right. Rabbi Meir is never concerned that somebody's going to die, even if he's going to Medina Sayyam. So if we're not concerned that somebody going to Medina Sayyam is going to die, why should we assume that an animal standing right here is going to die?
Widow, should I eat truma?
No.
And there is the same chazaka by an animal?
She can't. Oh, a widow? Yeah. She can eat. No. Yeah. Yeah, if she's bebeis ba'al, gemarang subas. It's in the Daf Yomi. If she's bebeis ba'al, she's allowed to eat truma.
There's no specific type of concern. It's a practical concern. It's only going to be over. Then they're right. They're eating truma.
Okay. Maybe that's the difference. But the Gemara, then you're saying there's no issue here. Okay, but the Gemara is not, right now, is not at that point. The Gemara thinks that there's a conflict between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Meir. That here Rabbi Meir says, never worry about death. So a husband who is in Chutz La'aretz, Medina Sayyam, is allowed to, his wife is allowed to eat truma. We assume that he's alive. If we assume that he's alive, why should we assume that animal's going to die?
There's the same
truma about an animal? Yeah, apparently, yeah.
The widow may not eat truma.
So
if
the
husband's a
childless.
Right. Unless she has descendants from him.
Correct. That's what he's saying. If there are children and she is the base Bala, if she's living in the house, which she has a right to, then she's allowed to eat truma. Without children, she cannot. Says the Gemara, now I'm going to prove to you another case that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says, Chayish Lamisa. The son, even though it's in a Braisa, another case. And nobody's going to die in this case. There's going to be, listen, the Gemara is going to claim another concern, and we're going to say if that's possible happening, then this should happen. Listen to this. Halokeach yai mi ben akusim. This is talking about somebody who purchases, I will stop here. It's a very long case. We'll stop here. So right now we're at the point where Rabbi Meir seems to contradict Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, Chayish Lamisa, by us, and in the Mishnah, which says that a husband who travels from Dinas Hayam, it is Rabbi Meir who said that the woman continue eating truma on the presumption that her husband is alive, and the author in both of these statements is Abaye. Not going Abaye be Mizakish Shtar LeBeit Rei. That's where we're up to right now. Gemara's going to later come quote something else, switch the names around, that'll resolve it. You know, get them. Okay. That's going to be one of them.